Hello and welcome to Mining Stock Daily with me, Paul Harris. Today we're talking about gold exploration and potentially development in Canada, in British Columbia, the Golden Triangle. And a great pleasure to be joined by Ken Conkin, President and CEO of Tudor Gold. Good morning, Ken.
Morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you for finding time for us. Now, you've just put out a resource update on your Treaty Creek property in the Golden Triangle of British Columbia, and that has a whopping 23 million ounces of gold equivalent. I'll break that down, so it's about 19 million ounces of gold, 112 million ounces of silver, and 2.2 billion pounds of copper. I imagine you're a very happy man.
Yeah, of course. I mean, this is what we were striving for from day one. This, I wish, was our initial rollout, because I was one of the few people that knew where we would be 2 years ago at this point. We knew the grades were getting stronger. We knew we had better handle on geology, on the constraints, what controlled the mineralization. So it was a two-year long patient wait for me to see this finally come to fruition. And I was absolutely beyond delighted when I saw what the pressure point was on a 1 gram cutoff. So what we've done is revolutionized the entire resource from ground up.
Thank you, Ken. I think one of the many noticeable things about this resource, one is that the cutoff grade actually went up. Oftentimes, you see cutoff grades come down to get more ounces and more pounds into resource, but your cutoff grade actually went up. Can you talk us through some of the improvements in the resource and how they came about, please?
Yeah, we've studied other resources in the area, and we looked at what mechanics were on what would trigger a robust economic project or mine. And we've spoken with producers in our immediate area. So what we did is automatically doubled the basically what was the accepted underground block cave or underground out of pit a bulk tonnage cutoff from what was accepted as being a 0.35 to about a 0.7. And with that, we shaved some ounces, that is true. But more importantly, we took the upper, all these surficial pits and went to a half a gram, a 0.5 from a 0.3. So big jump. We wanted to absolutely demonstrate that this thing had some very quality ounces in the deposit, in the domains, and it did not rock the overall economics, or we didn't submarine the overall 20 million goal of over 20 million ounce equivalent, basically the horizon or the goal that we wanted to achieve. So we took that approach, but we also trimmed off a lot of interstitial ounces between the domains. We took those right out. They're still there, but they were basically a lower grade material that we didn't think was necessary, that we actually traded off the material to the north east front, the north northeast front, and even to the southeast. We actually expanded out into the DS5. So all domains actually grew in the length and width and that sort of thing. But what we did is we trimmed the fat off. So we put the old deposit on a diet, if you will, and cut off all the with Occam's razor, if you know what that means.
We
used Occam's razor here, and we actually went right to it, because this is what the strategic alliance companies are going to look for. They're not looking for a big, huge global ounce number. They're looking for something that they can sink their teeth into and go after, like that 1 gram cutoff number. I don't have my computer, but we've gone through that number. What is that number? Is it 1.48? I think it was. I think at the end it was a 1.43. I remember looking at that. But there's a 1 gram cutoff that was almost 1.5 gram gold equivalent, which is an extreme number. So at 15 million ounce gold equivalent still. So it was the big increase clearly was the CS600. That was our big huge leader now. That's the superstar of the domains.
Okay, well, thank you, Ken, and congratulations there. Now, this resource puts you into a very select club of single asset junior gold companies. You talked about creating or designing the study to be appealing to strategic alliance companies. Got 23 million ounces. What's the next step? Where'd you go from here?
Well, like everything, we have to finish off what we start. And the reason why I say that, a lot of people were critical of us in the early go. They said, well, you had 19.4 million ounces of gold equivalent in M&I. Why did you take the shot then? Well, two things wrong with that. One, I didn't like the grade. I thought it was low at 0.74, and correctly so. We just kept on drilling. But the other one, which is really an important feature, is the character. As much as the CS600 is an extremely consistent grade event, it also has an internal change where you go from metallogenically something that's chalcopyrite rich, dominant with pyrite at the top, and you start introducing new minerals like bornite, some sulfur salts that are actually highly beneficial in a flotation circuit, and they drop out a lot quicker. So things like that we see happening, and the advent or the occurrence of high-grade gold that just serendipitously appeared in the north out of, I think, 6 drill holes. We've got a slide on our presentation that demonstrates that, well, out of 6 holes, 5 hit visible gold. And that ratio is extremely, as a high hit ratio, actually, because a typical one back in the earlier years in 2020, we had typically out of 49 drill holes, 10 had visible gold in the center mass of the Goldstorm deposit of the 300 horizon and the CS600. But that's about a 20% hit ratio where you see visible gold in your holes. Now we're seeing it well over 80% in the 90% range where we're seeing visible gold. And this reminds me of that crazy trip we took with Valley of the Kings, where we started drilling for exactly a higher grade type of open pittable target, and we absolutely had a chance find of a high grade Electrum series that turned out to be the Valley of the Kings mine. So we predicted that to be on the other end of the project, not so much in the northeast. I never saw this coming. So we've never targeted high grade, and we tapped into it. So when people say to us, well, just do your mine on that, and I'm telling them, well, whoa, wait, how do you know what we've got at the very end until you see it all? I want to see that wall. I want to see that far pit wall. I want to see what we've got. And then I want to expose everything else. Because what if you were standing on a VOK2, on a second type of VOK occurrence? And that's my ultimate goal and dream is to flesh that out on the western side of the property.
Okay, so it sounds like you're not ready to let go of the project yet, even if offers were to come in. I think one of the interesting developments in the space recently, we've seen Freeport-McMoRan starting to take a look at the province. How important is that 2.2 billion pounds of copper to Treaty Creek and to Tudor Gold?
Well, all categories all in, it gets closer to a 3 billion number. But overall, of course, 2.2 billion pounds is extremely important because that's the one category that doubled. And all because of one domain, the CS, the Copper Stream 600, as we call it, is one drill hole demonstrates a great example of that. It was the extension of hole 113, a wedge 2, and we extended that thing about 200 meters last year. In doing so, we added that composite went to a 1,497.5-meter run of about 0.27 copper, where the upper half has no copper, very little copper. It's all in the bottom half where the copper stream CS600. So as it pierced the 300 horizon, it absolutely slayed point. There was a lot of 1% and 2% copper numbers that averaged out 0.53% copper over, I think it was 732 meters, something like that, and maintained a number of 0.91 gold still. So that composite was super rich at 1.6 over that 700 meter run, 732 meters. So given that, not only is the character changing where it's actually as consistent as the system is, it is getting richer as we're still running to the northern aspects. So as we go north, we actually do see things like visible gold that occur in discrete north-south structures, similar to what happened at Valley of the Kings with Cleopatra. So I think our odyssey here is allow us to do our jobs, continue to finish off what we intended to do with Goldstorm, and go after the next one at Perfect Storm, which is what we'll be doing for setting you up for a segue for the next question. What are we going to do next year or this year?
I'm going to put another question in before I get to that one. In addition to copper majors like Freeport, Matmoran coming into British Columbia, the big gold companies are also increasingly interested in copper. Barrick Gold's very much stated that. Newmont's very much stated that. And of course, Newmont is looking to take over Newcrest, which has a big presence in producer presence in British Columbia. Newmont's got a number of development stage projects in British Columbia as well. British Columbia's got a lot of copper gold projects. How do you see the future of the province working out? Do you see a big wave of development happening at some point in the future?
Yeah, sorry, Paul. I meant to get you on that one. You did ask that in the previous question. Yes, so you left one out. BHP, there's a good one for Brixton. Yeah. How they came in, and they are copper hungry, and copper nickel is what they're really hunting for right now. And I had a conversation with Mr. Eric Sprott, and we both couldn't believe that based on the gold and everything else running the way it's heading, that a lot of these base metallers are coming in, these copper producers are even coming out of Chile. They're coming to look on the triangle. So as the world is destabilizing geopolitically, this is giving us a spotlight where the obviously the Canadian producers are looking as well, and the international ones are coming back. So to where, I mean, I would, Newport is just one, Freeport, they're just one of many that are in the area, and I think that you'll see others, Glencore, you'll see I think some producers out of Chile, you'll see them come up and knock on our door because you're right. The copper is, as Ross Beattie mentioned in his luncheon kind of fireside chat at the recent Red Cloud pre-PDAC conference, and he said the no-brainer mineral is copper. And we have in the CS600, it rivals gold along for all recoveries and all the recovered metals aspect. It is a beautiful, easy, simple, straight flotation and gravity system that will drop that out. So we like it. We love it. And a lot of the bigger companies are coming up to compete with gold producers that they want to look at making a deal just based on the actual copper content. So really important aspect. And don't forget silver's out there too. You mentioned 112 million ounces of silver. I used to hunt the world for 20 years of Silver Standard trying to find something that was world class up in the 200 million ounce range, and here we are at 112, and who knows where we'll saw off at. But the grades of silver were actually increasing as we went forward, although it's the one metal that you don't everyone shines a light on, but it's still there. And so all those three metals, if you look at the triangle, it is primed for all the big companies to set up and take out anybody like ourselves. But I think it's a bit early. I don't mind a strategic alliance, but I'd like to, like I say, finish off our work with their exploration team and pick off whatever potential low-hanging fruit there is.
Okay, and you mentioned Eric Sprott. Eric Sprott's a big investor. I think he's got 17-18% of your stock. So does that give you the ability to hold some of this interest off from the copper companies or the bigger gold companies? Are you able to, he's got deep pockets, obviously. Does that enable you to hold off some of this interest until you've added much more value to the project?
I don't look at it that way. I think I use Eric as much as I can for his experience, and he gives me a lot of advice. And this one, he's the biggest one. The takeaway is the leverage, the amount of leverage we actually possess with the price of gold going north and heading up. So if that happens and continues to happen, he's right. It's an exponential ride. It's not doubling the value. It's exponential. So I think I'm seeing what he's seeing in a different way from a scientific point of view. He's looking at it as an investor, and he wants more investors. So I think he applauds the idea of aligning yourselves with the correct type of a strategic partner. So we've been in contact with several companies, of course, and we can't say who they are, but we're going to go forward with doing what we do best, and that is find the resource, put the numbers on the board. And that's so important because that's the final evaluation you're looking at for the investment. But I think, you know, and Eric's got an interesting strategy point of view. He's in it for the ounces, not just for the, you know, the dollar takeout. He's there for the stick, stay, make it pay. That's what the term I use. And he loves this project. And I think he wants to see us don't just walk away or just sell out at a low inventory price. But people are doing that. They're making deals, mergers and acquisitions. We would welcome a partner, but we want to stay focused on actually getting the optimization of the project. That is getting all the other four zones up to speed to where we are with Goldstorm. So when you look at the overall gold potential, it's extreme. And we're talking about 1+ gram again. We're not talking about, you know, the sort of inventorying a lower value just to get into an ounce race with anybody. We want to go forward and make this a mineable, robust project.
Okay. Thank you, Ken. Now, to continue that process, what's the work program over the next 12 months or so?
Well, it's clearly, I'm kind of keen on that. It's pick up where we left off, is keep pushing the northern aspect completely, where we got the best results for CS600. We left a lot of unturned stones with DS5, which is turning in some great runs of gold of 1.67 gram gold over almost 200 meters. So again, we're north of that 1.5 gram kind of now. The bar is now set high. So we now want to try and add to this thing. We don't want to dilute the overall this update. We don't want to dilute it back, go the opposite way. In fact, we want to push the front out to see how much more good grades, solid grades, mineable grades we can add to the overall resource, because we want to optimize this thing at the end of the day. Then it's also looking at our other targets. There's a great slide we've got on our overall choice expiration aspects that we need to get back and drill. And we were drilling Perfect Storm until we hit hole 113. Then we had to pull all the drills off to get onto that. And let's face it, we haven't gone through a kind set of a market. So we had to back off on the full bore exploration, go to actually defining the deposit is what we did. And I think we did correctly, as you can see coming out with this resource. So a lot of naysayers out there that call this thing a geochem anomaly or whatever they want to call it, we actually proved them absolutely incorrect. And this is, in my mind, going to be a large gold copper producer. It's just a matter of how, what size is what you actually size it down. So that is the vision that I have going forward to a PEA. So next step, while we're doing that with Goldstorm, we can't take our foot off the gas with the other satellite targets like Perfect Storm, Calm Before the Storm. They're the satellite end members of the chain, as I call it, of deposits, including the Eureka, which looks like to be an surficial expression to the DS5 deep domain that looks like it comes running along the lower treaty thrust fault 2, and it runs up and exposes itself right at our upper camp. So a lot of exploration, but we know where we're going. I mean, it's not like we don't know where we're drilling. And the best part of this last year happened to be a slide that just got added on to our corporate presentation that shows the geochemical signature of all the ground that was just exposed over the last couple of years of basically the snow and ice ablation. So there's a raft of numbers between 1 to 4 to 8 gram gold all around the southwest zone. So, and it hits exactly where we predicted it to be. It's equidistant between Seabridge's Iron Cap and our Goldstorm system. So it's, our universe is expanding. So that's the way I look at it, our basically the Goldstorm system into the Perfect Storm, into Calm Before the Storm, will expand. I'm predicting that it would not shock me to double the absolute ounce count on this thing if we find another monster that's Perfect Storm.
Well, that would be something, wouldn't it? Doubling the ounce count. Okay. Now, I think I'm correct in saying your last significant financing was August last year. You raised $8 million. Is that correct?
Yeah, 7.75.
7.7. Yep. Okay. So explorations obviously cost money. So what point will you need to raise money again, and how much would you seek to raise, do you think?
Well, that's what we're talking with the Strategic Alliance. So if we can actually get something going with a major company, that would be ideal. But typically, their dance card is so full because they're looking at so many projects. They have a catch up rate they have to work on. You've got other companies out there that you've mentioned are coming in. I mean, you've got a great one that just BHP. Who saw that coming? I mean, out of the blue, there they are. So for me, financing is important. Of course, it's the one third of the equation that's a must have. It's the fuel in the vehicle. So we will be looking at something in the very short term. I think I'd like to finance everything in one shot, but these levels don't thrill me. I mean, I don't know what else you can do, but just kind of hunker down and just go forward, because I think you drill through this, because I think the other side of the cycle is the big pop. I agree with what everybody's saying. This is the timing issue we're all looking for. Everything is primed to go. I mean, all the indicators are there. What happened in 2008? I was there drilling Snowfields, the deposit that Seabridge acquired from Pratium, when that popped too in 2008. The same thing, and that led paved the way for Valley of the Kings. We started that in 2009, and we caught the cycle bang on. So here we are repeating not only a piece of history for me, but also a piece of economic history. So it's about the history that we're walking into, the economic history that I think was set for success.
Excellent. Well, I wish you the best of luck with that, Ken, and hopefully we'll get you back on the show in a few weeks' time as and when you complete that financing. Tudor Gold trades on the TSXV under TUD. Ken Conkling, President and CEO, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Glad to talk to you, and look forward to seeing you again.
And that's all from me, Paul Harris. Stay tuned for more from Mining Stock Daily.
The information presented should not be considered investment advice. Mining Stock Daily and its affiliates are not responsible for any loss arising from any investment decision in connection with the material presented herein. Please do your own research or speak with a licensed financial representative before making any investment decisions.